DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, and you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So welcome back to the Screwtape Letters podcast, confronting evil in our time. And here we are in our four-part episode, The Coming of Christ, the four-part Christmas journey. So we're in episode two mothers, one miracle, Elizabeth and Mary. And why this is such a beautiful story is because you've got these cousins who become anointed by God to actually carry children who are basically going to change the shape of humanity. And the story starts with a couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's barren. She can't conceive. And an angel appears and changes that, and we'll see that in scripture, how that all comes together. So let's do that. Let's jump back to talk about these two blessed women. And let's start in Luke 1:5-25 and the announcement to Zechariah, because Zechariah was what was known back in the days, probably a priest within the temple. And so it talks in Luke 1 about his position and how the angel appeared to him. So let's get into it. So in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because, as I mentioned, Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. So not only is the miracle happening that they're giving them a child to people who were barren, they're giving it to them later in years as well. Let's read on. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. You can only imagine seeing an angel, you know, what that would do to us. We don't know whether our time had come or what was happening. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked upon me, to take away my reproach amongst people." So you've only got to imagine how amazing this moment was for Zechariah. He's had an angel come to him. He's been scared. He's like, what is happening? This is just crazy. An angel? It's not something everyone has an experience with, but there he is with an angel. You know, if you go back to the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, it's about 450 years before Christ. As a prophet, Malachi said in Malachi 4, 5 through 6, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." There he is, preparing a vision, a prophecy of John the Baptist. Again, another one, if we go back to episode one, where we're talking about the prophecies from the Old Testament, there's one where he's actually talking there about John the Baptist coming. So you've got to think through, you know, why Zechariah and Elizabeth? You know, she was a righteous woman, but she was barren. And I think for a lot of women today who having trouble conceiving and would be considered barren, they're asking themselves, what have I done wrong in the sight of God? I don't think you've done anything wrong in the sight of God, and that should never be something you feel. That's a situation where it's a question for God. As many questions as I have, that's one of the big ones, for especially for people who really want to have children. You know, this was a pretty amazing time. And as it says at the end of there as well, that for 5 months she kept herself hidden, so she doesn't tell anybody about it. And then we go into Luke 21:26-38, and we're talking about the birth of Jesus being foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. She hadn't heard this talk before. She was a young girl. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David." Talking there about the coming down through the lineage of David. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Again, talking the lineage bound through Jacob, down through David, all the way to Jesus Christ. "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.'" I want you to stop here for a second and remember this. Nothing will be impossible with God. I'm a big believer that God is a healing God. If you have things within your family, within yourself that you want healing for, pray to God for healing. Not just for ethereal things or salvation or hope. They're good prayers too, but God wants us to pray for specific things also. And nothing is impossible with God. There's a young lady I'm praying for at the moment, and I have no doubt that God will step up and heal her, because God wants us to petition him for the healing of those around us. Back to the story, and Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So there you have it. The angel not only tells her she's going to conceive. Imagine for a young girl back then. No one would believe she's telling the truth, because you don't conceive without sexual intercourse with somebody. You then also got the angel telling her about her cousin, that there's no communication lines back there, and Elizabeth's been hiding this, so she didn't know. So Mary's going to visit Elizabeth knowing that she already knows, and being in a situation probably very scared of, like, how do I handle this? But if you look at Mary's faith there, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." You know, that's really powerful testimony from a young girl. You know, she's obviously very humble before God. You know, she likely lives in Nazareth, as we get from reading scripture. And it's one of those moments where it's really hard to comprehend. And it does take a huge leap of faith to say to ourselves, like, this woman claims to have had no sexual relations with anyone back in the day, if you weren't married and did that, and she's single at this point, that would be an incredible thing to do. And so you've got this situation where, you know, Mary needs to visit Elizabeth. Now she's heard this story. She wants to visit her. So going back to Luke 1:39-56, "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. John the Baptist leaped in Elizabeth's womb, knowing that she was close to Jesus Christ. He was close to Jesus Christ. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Elizabeth immediately knows the Holy Spirit is surrounding them and engulfing them. "And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Wow, what a leap of faith. "For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Like, what an amazing moment. I know with my wife, had two children, and when she was around other pregnant women, there was definitely a bond between women who were carrying children, children of God. But nothing like this situation we know here. And then it talks in Luke that Mary has a song of praise, and she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, for now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And it said that Mary then stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months before she returned home. Yeah, you just have to pause for a second and just really think about, you know, what's going on here. She's leaving as Elizabeth's about to give birth, or did give birth. We're not exactly sure about that through scripture. But that's just an incredible moment that actually happens. And for those of you wondering how Zechariah got his voice back as well, you know, this is something that happens at the birth. And it says in, again, Luke 1:57, "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy on her, and they rejoiced with her." You can only imagine her neighbors. "Wow, this old woman's giving birth? How did that happen?" "And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child." And in old Jewish tradition, this was usually when they actually named the child as well. "And they would have called him Zechariah after his father." That would have been the tradition. "But his mother answered, 'No, he shall be called John.' And they said to her, 'None of your relatives is called by this name.' And they made signs to his father." They knew his father was mute. They didn't understand why, still thinking it was from the encounter he had in the temple that he hadn't been able to tell anybody about. "And they inquired what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, 'His name is John.' And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God." Zechariah got his voice back when he stayed true and faithful to God. You know, this is, you know, part of the story that's just absolutely amazing. That you've got all these miracle moments happening through these two women, and most assuredly so because of the story of Christ's coming. So we know that in Luke covers obviously the birth and the journey of faith for both women in the Gospels, and obviously it isn't something that's in Mark or John. But there's also where Joseph has an encounter with the angel as well in Matthew 1:18-25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way: when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So they got married. But then he found out she was pregnant, and he's like, I can't stay with a woman like this, my reputation. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Again, what an amazing moment. You've got a man in those days who decided to stay with this woman who everyone's going to find out by the time she gives birth to the time they got married that they were probably pregnant before that. And there's something that I always love in this story as well, is that Joseph was an adoptive parent. And to all you adoptive parents out there, take note of this. What a blessing, and what an amazing virtue that you will be willing to step up and raise a child that is not your blood. And the idea of the blood being important is something that still irks me. Parents raise children. God blesses those who go out of their way to raise children. As we know today, anyone can get a woman pregnant, any man can. Takes real character and real parent is the name of people who raise children. Biology don't mean anything in that circumstance. It's all about the work you put in, the time you put in, the care, the love, the attention, all of that. He goes on to say, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son and called his name Jesus. So not only did he decide to stay with her, but he decided to stay abstinent until she had given birth to Christ. Like, the story of these two women is something in the Christmas story that sometimes gets lost. And it's sometimes the sort of thing that you need to read within your Bible and just get up to date with how this all happened. So you've got this amazing timeline. Mary finds out that her cousin Elizabeth has been pregnant for 6 months, goes to her, the baby, John the Baptist, leaps in Elizabeth's womb. Zechariah has seen the angel that told him about this coming. He doubts and becomes mute and gets his voice back once he stays true to the Lord and naming him John. You've got the situation where Joseph finds a beautiful woman, marries her, finds out she's pregnant. Pregnant through the Holy Spirit, through this dream, and again stays true. I think the takeaway from this is when God talks, or the Holy Spirit talks to us, or Jesus talks to us, we need to listen, we need to be faithful, and we need to understand through these scripture stories of how good God is. So that's episode 2. That's episode 2 of the series, and I'm really looking forward to getting through these. They're just beautiful stories, beautiful to expand on. episode 3 is going to be the journey Bethlehem and the birth of Jesus. And we will see you next time on the Screwtape Letters podcast, confronting evil in our time. God bless and Merry Christmas.